Now, we're proud to say we're still the only radio station in Ireland with a dedicated astronomy slot. Joining us once again is one of Ireland's best-known astronomy communicators, David Moore, editor of Astronomy Ireland magazine. There's a lot happening in the skies at the moment, from the International Space Station blazing overhead to a spectacular close approach between Jupiter and Venus, plus public talks, telescope events and astronomy classes for beginners. David, you're very welcome back to the programme.
Thank you very much, Eugene.
Now, David, people across Ireland have been spotting the International Space Station in recent evenings. Just how impressive has this current run of sightings been?
Well, it's up to 100 times brighter than the brightest stars in the sky. Now, there is Venus and Jupiter up there, which are also brighter than the brightest stars in the sky. But I've seen it rival Venus, which is the brightest thing we can get in the sky, apart from the moon and the sun, of course. So it is extremely spectacular. As you're standing there, you know, looking at 100 billion euros worth of money spent on it, and seven astronauts on board, you can think of, you know, how long it's been going, how fast it's moving, 17,000 miles an hour. So it would cross all of Ireland from the west coast to the east coast in 60 seconds.
Wow.
So there's so many statistics associated with space that just blow your mind. And I've been watching it since it's been manned, 2001. And the Mir space station, even before that, and it never gets old. I still go out a couple of minutes before the prediction, get ready and watch it. And always have a quick look with the binoculars to see if there are any little craft chasing us or in front of us. Because they're always sending up new supply craft or new crews or bringing them down. In fact, we have what we call a space chase possible tomorrow night. We're just waiting to see everything goes okay with sending up a SpaceX Dragon capsule.
Okay.
To the ISS tomorrow. So you'll read about that on our social media tomorrow afternoon.
Okay. And it was a particularly bright on Saturday night during the clear weather. What exactly are people looking at when they see it crossing the sky? Like, describe it.
Yeah. So for people who haven't seen it, you've got to get the whole family out to have a look at least once, especially the kids. It looks like just a star because it's 400 kilometers above the ground. The extent from, say, Donegal down to Kerry, of roughly 400 kilometres. So it's that far above, you know, imagine a map of Ireland stuck on your globe. So it's quite high up. So people in Kerry can see it at the same instant people in Donegal. So it's a nice nationwide event. It only looks like a star because although it's sort of all the modules docked together would just about fit on the pitch at Croke Park to give you some idea of the scale. They say it's like a four-bedroom semi-detached house, the amount of room they've got inside. And it looks white. Sometimes you can see a sort of yellowish-gold color. That's the gold-coated solar panels catching the sunlight. And we only see it because it's catching the sunlight so high up. The sun's gone down here on Earth where we are, but it's so high up, it's still catching the sun over our horizon, as it were. And sometimes as you watch, you'll actually see it fade and vanish as it enters the Earth's shadow. And the brightness or the speed itself to the naked eye is about the speed that a high-flying jet crosses the sky. So you see those trundling across the sky, usually a contrail behind them for 2 or 3 minutes. The space station is that kind of speed. If it zips across the sky in a second or less, that's a meteor, shooting star.
It's
there forever. It's a planet.
And David, is it actually traveling at 17,000 miles an hour?
Yeah, but it's rather like, imagine you had a train traveling at 100 miles an hour, but it was several miles away from you. It would just be gliding slowly
of course.
The countryside. Now, but if you're standing next to it, wow.
But that's the speed of it, is 17,000 miles an hour. Like, it's incredible.
As you're watching, roughly 5 miles per second.
Now, we always mention the space station and the seven astronauts, and then, of course, there's the Chinese, the three others in the Chinese thing. Do we ever see the Chinese one over over Ireland at all? Or if not, why not?
Well, I'm not aware of any sightings from Irish soil. It is technically possible to see it very low down from the south coast of Ireland, but I don't think anyone's really attempted. Even at its very best, I mean, the space station will fly overhead at Cork and Kerry, and more than halfway up the sky from Donegal, so it's easy to see. And, of course, it's bigger than the Chinese space station as well. That's three people on board. So I think it'd be interesting if anyone did manage to sight it, but they're just going to see a very faint light, unlike the International Space Station. It'd be, roughly speaking, 100 times less impressive. So there are 10 people in space is the reason we mention it occasionally.
Yeah.
It's not just the Americans, the Europeans. I think it's two women on board and five men at the moment. And the crews change every 6 months or so. They send up new craft with supplies and also experiments and return things to the Earth as well. So it's a busy little space station that's been operating now for over 20 years. And looks like it's going to be kept going into the 2030s. People in NASA or in U.S. Congress want to keep it going until they've got a moon base operational,
yeah,
which is what the Artemis mission was all about last month.
Absolutely. And just in relation to, where am I going with this? Oh, yeah, sorry. How many days left have people got to see, or many nights, rather, have they still got to see the space station before it's gone again for a while?
Yeah, so it's put into context. Roughly speaking, we see the International Space Station in the evening sky for 2 weeks every 2 months. And we've just started this two-week window. It'll go on till Saturday week, the 23rd of May, so you have plenty of time to see it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different time every night is the only problem. But to solve that, we post around 4 o'clock, well before the sun sets, on our social media, the exact time to watch. Anything special, if there's going to be a space chase. Sometimes it crosses the moon. Sometimes it'll pass in front of Jupiter or Venus that are up there at the moment. And we'll tell you exactly where you need to be in Ireland,
yeah,
to see that happen. So, you know, it usually we just give the county, and you need to see it pass very close to Jupiter or directly in front of it. And I've seen it cross the moon a few times over those decades from Ireland, and that's despite the Irish weather, which is often the hindrance.
Now, speaking of Jupiter and Venus, they're moving closer together in the night sky. Why is this event generating so much excitement among astronomers?
Yeah, that's the other big thing that people are seeing in the evening sky. Oh, and while I think of it, our social media, the links to those are on the website, astronomy.ie. Down the bottom, you'll see Facebook, X, Instagram. That's where you get the predictions.
Yeah.
Back to Jupiter and Venus. They sit there all night. Well, Venus is up till about midnight. Jupiter doesn't set till around 2 a.m. So it'll be there as soon as it gets dark. And in fact, it doesn't even need to get that dark. Between about 10 p.m. when the sky is still bright and 11 p.m. when Venus is getting quite low, you'll see them. So 10 o'clock, I was easily able to see it driving around yesterday, just look over in the west where the sun went down. You see this brilliant star. That's actually the planet Venus. And to its upper left, almost as bright as Jupiter. And they'll be the two first things you see in the twilight because they're by far the brightest. As it gets darker by 11 o'clock, say, you'll see other stars in the sky called Venus and Jupiter. And they're getting closer and closer week by week until on June the 9th, they'll be so close you could cover the two of them with your finger held at arm's length. So they'll be 20 times closer than they have been over the weekend. So I thought they looked pretty impressive over the weekend,
mm-hmm,
these two bright objects. You know, about two hand spans at arm's length at the moment apart. But that'll drop to one hand span, then a fist width at arm's length. And on the first and second week of June, you'll definitely be able to cover them with your fist. And, you know, you've got the two brightest objects in the sky almost on top of each other. That's by far the highlight of the whole year,
yeah,
were it not for the nearly total eclipse of the sun we're going to have in August.
So
keep watching it. Snap, yeah, it every night with your smartphone.
Absolutely, because a double planet event is quite rare, isn't it?
Yes, I've been meaning to run the computer forward and backward to see when it's last and next going to happen. But these two, the two brightest that we can get, I can't remember it happening in my lifetime. Possibly did. We had cloudy weather. But it's very rare. We're talking years or decades.
Now, just remind people, for anyone hoping to photograph this spectacular pairing, what's the best time? I know you're going to have them on your social media on astronomy.ie. And as you say, down the bottom of the page, you can get all the Facebook and whatever down there. But what are the best times to view this in the evening time?
Well, when I was looking over the weekend, 10 o'clock, they were immediately obvious. Just driving around, didn't think I'd seen them that area. Oh, there they are already. And look how bright blue the sky still is. The sun had set, of course, but in strong twilight, you'll see them. And that's probably a good time to snap them with your smartphone. Smartphones are smart in that they try to fix your photos by adjusting the exposure time. So if it's a party scene at night, they go a bit longer. If it's broad daylight on a beach, in the sun, they'll snap really fast. And at nighttime in the twilight, they've got a blue sky background to go with because they're not used to photographing two bright dots in a black star field. And that can often confuse them. So in the twilight, it's actually great. And smartphones are brilliant because they're a nice wide field at the moment, so they'll definitely pick up the two. I did it last night, and you could see all the stars you could see with the naked eye, and a few faint ones you couldn't even see with the naked eye by the time 11 o'clock came along, and it got a bit darker. So 10 to 11 is the time. Get snapping, and you can have a record then, whenever there are clear skies over the next few weeks, of the two closing in on each other until that June the 9th super close conjunction, as we call it.
And that fits nicely with our next piece of information, and that is about Astronomy Ireland holding a major online public lecture tonight about astrophotography, and this is where smartphones come into their own, and people, the timing of this is perfect because of what people are going to see over the next 2 weeks. Tell us about that lecture tonight, David.
Yeah, it's only in just over an hour's time, so as soon as the our interview is over, I'll be off preparing for it. It's on Zoom online, so everybody can see it. Zoom is dead easy to use on your phone or your laptop or whatever. You can watch it from the comfort of your own home. Martin McAree, who's from Cork, he's an expert astrophotographer. So he's going to try and show people how it's done. So, you know, with your smartphone, you can start adding pictures up as well and make them even more powerful. So he's going to show not just smartphones, but also how to take pictures with better lenses and with telescopes as well, and show the kind of work he sent in to Astronomy Ireland magazine in the past, and hopefully will be in the future, and what you can achieve when you take this hobby. So just sit back and watch the simple stuff, complicated stuff, and you'll know everything you need to know about photography and what suits you. And even if that talks too much, we had a pure smartphone astrophotography talk back in December, and we can send you the recording of that as well, if you request it tomorrow. Well, in the meantime, you need to get your tickets for tonight's talk. They're online. Astronomy.ie is the website. You'll see the lecture there. There's one every month, and Martin is one of us. He's an ordinary guy, not an astronomer, who loves photographing the night sky. Oh. I'll try and explain to everybody in the country tonight.
Now, you've also got the Artemis Moonwatch event, which we talked about 2 weeks ago, event coming up later this month. Can people expect to see through their telescopes? And why, David, is the moon still such a breathtaking object to observe?
Yeah, well, when you look up the sky, the only thing that shows details to the naked eye is the moon. And you can see the blotches, the dark patches on it, which we are now sure were impacts that happened billions of years ago, smashed through the crust of the moon, molten rock from inside the moon oozed out and filled those big craters. And the rest of the moon was sort of shotgun pebble dashed, if you like, in the billions of years before that. So all the moon's been pummeled. And these are relatively fresh impacts. And the rock that sort of smoothed out inside those giant craters is still fairly untouched. So it looks dark compared to the whiter area that's been shotgun blasted, if you like. And if you've got a telescope, well, you can see thousands of craters. In fact, the telescopes we've got, you can see mountains inside the craters. Some of the craters have terraced walls. You can see all this detail, just one crater. There are thousands of craters. There are real mountain ranges there as well, a huge landscape. And as you can see detail with your eye, the telescopes are thousands of times more powerful than that. And they show incredible, intricate detail. And if you listened to the Artemis astronauts last month describing what they were seeing, now they were 60 times closer than we are. So their eyes were like telescopes. They were that close. And they could see all this detail just by looking out the window.
Okay.
So they were awestruck. And people, by far the most spectacular object we ever show people in telescopes is the moon. And I've been looking through telescopes of the moon for decades, and it never gets old.
Okay.
You know, you just can't draw yourself away from all that detail. You've got to see this once in your life. Come along and celebrate Artemis, May the 22nd, a Friday night, not a school night, so you can stay up late with us. 8:30 we start, and we will blow your mind. If you bring the whole family, we'll blow theirs too.
David, we have a texter in here just asking, he didn't give a name here, so there's no name on the text, but he is a texter, and says, can you ask David his opinion on the recently released UFO files in the US, and if he ever witnessed these strange sightings that he couldn't explain?
No, not really, and we're looking up an awful lot. And they do say most, 90-odd percent of the things that people report can be explained by natural phenomena. It's the few percent that they can't. And I've seen those pictures of, you know, especially the military photographs of things scudding across the sea. But they're still only dots. And I wonder myself personally, are they just artifacts in the cameras? The military cameras they have are extremely high-tech. I've talked to fighter pilots. They've told me the things they could tell me about, but then they'd have to shoot me. So I just wonder, is it artifacts within the software? And they need to get some imaging specialists in. I remember seeing one documentary. There was a very convincing object shooting up over a house. It turned out the chap had videoed his TV screen because he didn't want to give the original to the researchers. And it was somebody opening the door, and a glint off the doorknob is what actually shot across his roof. And never dawned on me it could be something as simple as that.
Okay.
I'm not saying that's what the military photographed, but imaging specialists have they know these kind of things, and they're on the lookout for things that can be explained. But I don't see any craft with doors opening and aliens popping out to say, take me to your leader.
Okay.
I still do think it's imaging artifacts.
But we might talk to you maybe next Monday about, have you gone through some of the UFO files? Have you gone through anything?
I watched them all very carefully.
Okay.
When they've been released, I think, since 2016. And the latest ones, I've queued them up to have a look at. We've been very busy organising this talk and the Moonwatch. And, by the way, evening classes that are coming up at the end of the month.
And we'll talk about them next Monday.
And won't be going to press till the week after.
Yeah.
So I'll be studying them intently this week.
And we might
12,000 pictures just been released by Artemis from them. I have to wade through those as well.
Okay, well, we might talk to you more next Monday about the classes later this month, and maybe some more on the UFO files. For now, David Moore, editor of Astronomy Ireland magazine, thank you as always for joining us on CRKC. And as always, go on to astronomy.ie if you want to get tickets to that show tonight and see all the things that happen there and all their social media. And as always, reminding you, look up. Thanks, David. Appreciate that. Okay, stay tuned for Tea Time.